in the fight to stop the embers of evil. There's no hero more willing to go the distance. No hero more willing to carry his flammable items to safe storage than Captain Combustibles.
I was just storing my flammable outdoor items 10 meters from my house. Simple fire smart stuff, honestly.
Amazing, Captain Combustibles. Another everyday hero doing everyday chores to protect his home from wildfire. For more fire smart tasks that could save your home, visit firesmartbc.ca.
Welcome to the Get Fire Smart Podcast, a place to listen, learn, and hear from Fire Smart leaders to understand how to implement Fire Smart strategies and activities to protect your home, neighborhood, and community from the threat of wildfire. On the show, we interview Fire Smart leaders from across the world to share stories that provide practical tips and lessons to get fire smart. From community leaders to firefighting professionals to passionate homeowners, we dive into the stories of FireSmart and how you, our listeners, can learn the practical steps you can take to begin your FireSmart journey. And now, it's time to get FireSmart.
Okay, we are back with the Get FireSmart podcast, and today is a special episode. We're speaking with Deanne Sutterby and Brittany Siebert. Both Deanne and Brittany are proud recipients of the Lynn Orsted Award. In our conversation today, we speak with Deanne and Brittany about their professional background, their personal passion for wildfire, and their experience building their careers focused on wildfire resiliency. Let's dive in. Welcome to the show, both of you guys.
Thanks for having us here.
Thanks for having us.
This is a special episode because we're going to talk about you guys. We're going to talk about the award. We're going to talk about all things Fire Smart. But it's a special time just to pause and to celebrate this awesome milestone. So we'll dive into a lot of questions about you guys, your passion for FireSmart, but just for our listeners, we'll just start with a quick background on yourselves, and we'll start with yourself, Brittany. Just tell our listeners who you are and maybe your current role.
Yeah, so I'm currently the Emergency Program Coordinator for the City of Penticton. I previously came to the city as the FireSmart Coordinator, and I am also currently working still with the BC Wildfire Service. I previously worked for them as a firefighter for a number of years, but now work as an as and when structure protection specialist with them.
Amazing. And where are you calling in from today for the podcast?
So I am in the city of Penticton, so traditional unceded territories of the Sioux people in the Okanagan Nation. Currently the weather is beautiful, so I'm really enjoying the sunshine right now.
Amazing. And Deanne, how about yourself?
Right. I am the FireSmart program advisor. I work with FireSmart BC and I work with FireSmart Alberta, as well as the Community Wildfire Planning Center. I am calling in from Sherwood Park. I live on an acreage just outside of Sherwood Park. And yes, I'm very happy to see this guy today.
Amazing. So we'll dive into more of your guys' background, but first question for both of you, bit of a personal question. What does it mean to be recognized and to be the first recipients of the Lynn Orsted Award? Deanne, we'll start with you.
I'm so honored. I'm humbled. I was so surprised when I learned that I was nominated for this award. I had the honor of working with Lynn Orsted when I worked with Partners in Protection Association. She sat on the board for a few years and became the chair at the end of her time serving on that board. And so I got to know her very well. And while she served as chair, such an amazing woman, so full of life, so full of determination. She was such a good support, just a brilliant woman to work with. It was such an honor. I was part of, when we started talking about the award, creating the award, I was briefly part of the committee that was talking about creating this award. And we were super, I'm just so super thankful that Lynn is being honored in this way, her memory.
That's amazing. And just the opportunity to work with her and to learn from her and then to celebrate the award is pretty special.
For sure.
How about yourself, Brittany? What did it mean for you when you got recognized and the opportunity to share this award with some talented people?
Definitely honored. You know, it's always nice to know that you're doing a good job and actually have been doing something that has been impactful. You know, I definitely have felt a little bit of imposter syndrome being recognized beside Deanne and Aaron. They both have contributed in such meaningful and amazing ways to the Fire Smart and wildfire resiliency efforts here in British Columbia, but also across the province and for Deanne internationally. I unfortunately never had the privilege to meet Lynn, but everyone that I have talked to, I actually have quite a few friends and family who actually knew Lynn quite well, and they've spoken incredibly highly of her and just have talked about just basically she sounded like a ray of sunshine, really, and just this amazing, wonderful woman. And so I think that's the bigger thing that I feel honored is just to be recognized in a similar fashion to someone who was such a positive influence on so many other people that that to be attested to be this on the same par somewhere in there, that's a huge honor. So yeah, it's been really, really nice to have that recognition, and really wish I had had an opportunity to have met Lynn.
Amazing. Yeah, I think for all of us, we're coming off of this amazing summit, this amazing conference just about a week ago. And I think I've heard this comment a lot just coming away from the conference of just how far the wildfire industry has come, how far the Fire Smart program has come. And to celebrate an award like this where someone like Lynn is so passionate, you know, if she could see how far we've all come in the program, I think that's pretty special. So what were some of your feedback or what were some of your comments, you know, while it's fresh coming away from the conference, you know, the size of the event, the quality of the speakers, just the momentum, what were some of your guys' feedback just coming away from that event and just seeing how far the program has really come?
I was amazed at how far we've come for FireSmart BC. It's completely exploded in the last few years. I know COVID definitely kind of put a hindrance on anything being able to expand, but coming out of the pandemic, within a couple of years, we now have a established conference that people know about. We have, you know, international speakers that are coming in. It was amazing to see, you know, Australian representatives coming up here. We had Cal Fire up here. And then to tie it into the WUI Training Summit as well. So having that cross-training piece for firefighters around the province to get trained up in wildfire expertise is just, it's really cool to see. When I started kind of in the FireSmart realm, it was much smaller. Very few people, I think, had really even heard of the term or really knew what it was. But it's really exploded. And it's neat to see, too, going back every year now and seeing all the people you've networked over the years and actually building those friendships and those relationships. So that part for me is actually really cool, too. It's looking forward to every year getting to see everyone.
Totally. And for Deanne, yourself, been a part of the FireSmart program for a while, you know, similar to Brittany's comments, there's some relationships that you probably built over many years. Now you get to connect with people and like-minded individuals that are so passionate about resiliency. So how did you see the conference then, and then maybe connecting that to the award and just how far the programs have come?
Yeah, when I began with FireSmart Canada 10 years ago, it was a very small program. And to see how it has grown over the years, especially in the last, I want to say, 5 years, is absolutely incredible. And in taking into consideration COVID happened during those 5 years, I'm amazed at how many people were at the conference, how many people I got to meet in person after having relationships with them through email for, you know, 8 to 10 years. It was great to put faces to the names. There were so many enthusiastic people there. It was great to see people are so willing to talk and so welcoming and so willing to share their knowledge and as well as learn from, you know, their colleagues. It was just incredible to see so many people come together and offer their knowledge and learn things and listen to the experts.
Totally. There was definitely an energy you felt at the event. There was a pace, there's an urgency. Could be the time of year. Obviously, fire and fire resiliency is on top of everyone's minds. But to see that group of people, the passion is pretty evident. And you could see it in the hallways. You could see it from the speakers, from the networking events. You know, I think I've heard you mention it, Deanne, but taking those relationships, want to build a career in kind of the wildfire industry. And so learning from both of you is pretty exciting. So we'll start with yourself, Brittany. You mentioned a bit about your background. You're at Beast Wildfire Service. You have experience with structural. You're at Penticton now. So maybe just give our listeners a little overview of kind of your career. And this is your opportunity to brag a little bit. I know both of you guys are extremely humble, so I might have to do my best to get that out of you. But this is your opportunity to just paint the picture of your career and tell us a bit about yourself, of your journey.
Yeah. So I always say that I stumbled accidentally into the realm of wildfire. I came into BC Wildfire as a summer student. I started actually as a dispatcher and was currently in university actually at the time, training to be a massage therapist. And kind of a long story short, eventually made my way onto the cruise and ended up falling absolutely in love with the world of wildfire and just the teamwork and getting to tour around the province and seeing such amazing landscapes and working, you know, with your own hands. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. So I did that for a number of years. I got to do some really cool things while working for wildfire. I got to participate on teams and getting deployed to the pre-oc into Kamloops there for the 2017-2018 floods and fires. I got to go down to Australia for an international exchange, which was really awesome. So I spent 6 months firefighting down there, met some really cool people. Actually just went back recently for one of my coworkers' weddings. So yeah, made some really nice and strong relationships down there. But in 2019, made the decision to leave BC Wildfire. So I ended up working with a forestry and wildfire consulting company. And through them, they actually got me started on more of the fire smart side of things. So got me more into that prevention side. And yeah, it was really interesting. It was really funny coming from an operational background where I just assumed like, well, I know what fire does. So clearly I know how it's going to impact homes. And then I went and did my first fire smart session and quickly got a lesson in what fire smart really is and completely changed my outlook on how I saw fire. And yeah, through that experience, so helping just facilitate local programming for other regional governments, I eventually came down here with the city of Penticton as the Fire Smart coordinator. And then just given my response background, I've been able to tag in with the structure protection program. So I do go out when needed as a structure protection specialist. So, and then on the side, I'm also currently taking my master's of disaster and emergency management at Royal Roads. So as much as I'm also passionate about wildfire, I'm also passionate about emergency management in general. So just currently trying to figure out how to blend all my loves into a single career path, which is not always the easiest thing.
That's amazing. It's a lot packed into a very quick summary that I know you move fast on. So we'll dive a bit more to that story, but I think it's just great for our listeners to hear a bit about your background and kind of your mobility, I think, moving from different areas, being able to take that experience. And I think one thing that jumped out at me is the industry is relatively small, covers a big area, covers a really important area, but it's small and there's a lot of relationships. And I think you've shown that in your career.
Do you hear that? Approaching faster than a speeding weed whacker, more powerful than a ride on mower, holding the flames of evil at bay by cutting them off at the grassroots. That's right. It's Mower Man!
Huh? Oh, I'm just cutting my lawn to be more fire smart. Nothing special.
Incredible! All in a day's work for Mower Man. Another everyday hero doing everyday chores to protect his home from wildfire. For more fire smart tasks that could save your home, visit firesmartbc.ca.
Deanne, how about yourself? Tell our listeners a little bit about your background and, you know, your exposure to wildfire resiliency and just your professional career for those wanting to listen.
Well, my original role started out as an administrative role for Partisan Protection, which at the time was a very small nonprofit organization. The executive director was looking to retire at that time, and so they needed to bring somebody in to cover the administrative and bookkeeping part of his job. So that's when they hired me, and when I started the administrative work, one of the first things I did in learning with FireSmart Canada was taking an LFR course in Strathcona County, which I found I was absolutely amazed by the material in that course. And there was so much about fire that I didn't understand, and I didn't have a fire background before that. So I was given the opportunity to learn through that course. And then my role grew as time went on. As we develop more programs and courses through FireSmart Canada, I was heavily involved in, you know, the administrative part of that, as well as, you know, being offered the opportunity to manage some of the programs and help develop some of them. The executive director there, and there was a number of executive directors during my time there, and they all gave me the opportunity to develop my career and learn more and participate and contribute to all of the programs, which I'm very grateful for.
That's awesome. Just to kind of segue a little bit, and we'll go back to you, Deanne. I think what probably a lot of people that aren't in this industry, and we talk about this industry of wildfire resiliency, of response. If you're not in the industry, you kind of don't know the details of it. And I'm, you know, speaking even for myself, you look at the industry from an outsider's perspective and you just see fire and you assume, let's put water on that fire and that's the story. When you dive into the industry, there's dynamics between policy, there's dynamics between communications, resiliency, prevention. There's so much there. So I guess, Deanne, for a question for you, what's something that you wish you knew at the beginning of your career that you know now that you'd love to tell someone, whether it's someone that's interested to potentially start looking at a career in kind of wildfire resiliency, or just someone that's already in it and maybe you would encourage them or say any sort of words of wisdom kind of in those early days. So what's something you wish you knew at the beginning of your career that you know now?
Some of the programs that have been developed are very basic, which I appreciate, like the Fire Smart Begins at Home program, where you can read the manual or download the app, and it walks you through some very small steps you can take that make a big difference. And I think when I started out, that's something I didn't realize, is that there's so many little things you can do that will have an impact on whether, you know, an ember catches something on around your home on fire or not. There's so much to learn, but I think we have some great resources now available, like on the FireSmart BC website, the FireSmart Canada website. Anyone who is interested, I think there's so many resources that have been developed over the last few years that are super helpful in giving people an overview of what it is.
Amazing. So practical, dive in early, get that education. That's actually a really good perspective, is it's taking that first step. Is once you start to like begin that journey of what is FireSmart, what is wildfire resiliency, you know, those one-on-one courses, it opens up your perspective to say, wow, this is a big program. So it's pretty exciting. So good practical advice. Brady, how about yourself? You've, I would say you're still in that journey. You're still exploring it, but what would you say, I mean, with your background of wildfire and what you're doing today, what would you say to someone that's beginning their career? Advice, feedback, insights, encouragement?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's so many different paths that could bring you to this. I mean, like I said, I started going to school as a massage therapist and then just happened to do this as a summer job, and that led me on my path. So you just never know what's going to lead you down into your next adventure. But, you know, looking back, I mean, I wish I had gotten on with wildfire on the cruise a lot sooner. A lot of that had to do with, I think, just a little bit of a belief system in myself and my ability to even be a firefighter. So that would definitely be something, you know, for young people, especially for women, you know, don't cut yourself short. You'd be amazed at what you're able to accomplish. You know, going to school for forestry or environment related type studies, that can go a long way. There's some amazing work that's happening out there with fuel mitigation. You know, we're trying to integrate cultural burning and traditional burning back onto the landscape. So having knowledge around that or practices in that, if that's, you know, especially if you have that community background, yeah, taking the FireSmart 101 courses, getting yourself aware of FireSmart, you know, maybe getting on with BC Wildfire, getting some operational background experience. There's so many different avenues I think that someone can get into. It's about understanding a little bit about where your interests are and kind of teasing that out and seeing where that thread kind of takes you to. So yeah, I don't think even if you're looking for a career switch, you know, I'm sure there's lots of different experiences that would make you an asset to this field. You know, we just hired our recent FireSmart coordinator. She comes in with an animal science degree, but she's really good at working with the public, and that had to do with her previous, her work that she did, is she had to work a lot with the public and deal with some pretty tough conversations. And so, yeah, just look at your strengths and where your interests are and just follow your heart and don't give up.
Amazing. Such good advice from both of you. I think, Deanne, your comments have just start early, take those early courses, start to open up that awareness. And then Brittany, to your point, and your career is a great example already of just don't sell yourself short, get in there early, start that journey, find that passion. And I think that's a really good point. It's it can be an intimidating field when you think about fire. It's not something that a lot of people race towards. You have to be unique and you have to be passionate. But I think both really good feedback and both really good advice. Going back to the award, I mean, the Lynn Orstad Award was really developed to honor women that have made significant contributions in wildfire resiliency and advocacy efforts. I think it was just exciting to see the applications come in and just the quality. It's a huge growing community. And so for you guys, you know, you're both being humble, but congratulations again on just winning that prestigious award. For both of you, similar to the last question of advice, can you guys provide any highlights in your career? Obviously, there's lots. There's many more to come. But anything that jumps out to you in your careers to date that's just been a highlight of your work within Wildfire Resiliency?
Within Wildfire Resiliency, yeah, I feel like I'm still on that career, just on that path right now. It's funny, when you first started asking the question, I immediately went to, oh, well, my time in Australia, because that was so much fun. But I was definitely down there more in a response-based capacity. But I think from the resiliency side is just the constant learning and just how much this program and this field is growing. I think that's just been the highlight for me, is just my career opportunities have completely opened up to me. My knowledge set has completely expanded. And yeah, I think I'm still just kind of figuring out what that highlight is for me.
It's a good answer. Highlights are still coming. How about for yourself, Deanne?
I think one of the highlights of my career has been being involved with the Wildfire Community Preparedness Day program. Mm-hmm. We started that with Fire Smart Canada in 2015, giving communities the opportunity to learn about Fire Smart, what they can do, have an opportunity to provide some funding and resources to people who are interested, but yet maybe not ready to commit for some reason. Just opening the door to Fire Smart, holding an event and seeing what their neighbors and community members, seeing what they're willing to do and participate in. That program has grown astronomically since we started in 2015. I had the opportunity to run that program until I left Fire Smart Canada in 2021. So that was definitely one of the highlights, because it gave me the opportunity to talk to community members, to get to know people from across Canada, to help them understand Fire Smart and some of the things they could do to make a difference to the resiliency of their communities.
And actually with that, maybe it isn't a single highlight, but I think something I really get a kick out of still is when you do present this education to the public, just watching their minds almost being blown as to like, really, I only need to do work within that first 10 meters or specifically like in that first 1.5 meter. And you're like, yeah, like, here's the videos, here's the evidence, here's the science. And you can just see like their whole mind and their perceptions have completely shifted. And so I think that's been really cool through this career, is just being able to provide that resource and that tool and that education to people.
Yeah, to echo that, when you're engaging with the public and sharing that message, they go from, I thought we had no impact or no influence on increasing the resilience in my home or my community or neighborhood, to, oh, wow, I can do that. I can take that first step. And even just closing that gap is such a win. And we have a long ways to go. But yeah, that's a pretty important milestone. Deanne, back to you. I think this is for both of you guys. Coming away from the summit and the conference, the big theme that was communicated was partners in progress. I think it was extremely worded correctly. There's a lot of momentum pulled from that. But for both of you, can you touch on the role that other groups or other agencies or different kind of bodies within the Fire Smart and Wildfire Resiliency industry, how has that played in your career? So any other groups or any agencies with that partnership focus, how has that played an impact in your career?
In my role with Fire Smart Canada, I worked a lot with all of the provincial and territorial liaisons. So I learned a lot about the different needs from different areas, the unique needs that certain provinces and territories have. And then back to the Wildfire Community Preparedness Day, we worked in conjunction with the cooperators, the NFPA and ICLR. And so I had the opportunity to build working relationships with those companies as well, which I don't think I would have not given if they hadn't participated in the Wildfire Community Preparedness Day. So it was bringing different companies together to help support communities across Canada.
Awesome. How about yourself, Brittany? I know you've worked in a couple organizations, so.
It's funny. I was trying to think of organizations, but I think because of my grassroots background, my thoughts initially go towards the individual networks I've built, whether that's been with the connections at Fire Smart PC, such as with Kelsey Winter, Amanda Reynolds, Rachel Woodhurst, or the people I've worked with over the years that have educated me, such as Brandy Malowski, John Davies, and Andy Lowe. And of course, they're the people who have created opportunities for me to grow and learn, and particularly Chief Larry Watkinson, who brought me on as the Fire Smart Coordinator for the City of Penticton before helping me to advance into my role as an Emergency Program Coordinator. I look to all of those interactions I've had with people over the years and the knowledge and the inspirations they've imparted onto me, you know, that all really helped to steer me in where I am today. And, you know, looking outside my career path, I think it's important to recognize the multitude of organizations that have been an influence on helping us in here in the city develop our Fire Smart program. You know, the Penticton BC Wildfire Zone has been an amazing group of staff. They've come out and assisted us with our education. You know, they're always willing to chat about fire mitigation, and they've just been a really great resource to discuss bringing back fire onto our landscapes. I've been really appreciative of Finesse and working with them to help bridge our relationships between Indigenous communities, especially with Penticton Indian Band, and as well as the Wildfire Risk Reduction Program. They've been really awesome at assisting us with reducing some fire behavior potentials here in the city. They're currently conducting a fuel treatment for us on Crown or unceded territory within our municipal boundaries. So, yeah, there's so many people and organizations that have contributed in such meaningful ways to both my career as well as the development of the Fire Smart program here in our community. I honestly could go on and on, but you know, there's so many people I could thank and organizations, but at that point you'll probably have to play the Oscar music because I'll be droning on and on. So I will say I sincerely apologize for anyone I didn't give a shout out to, but I'm just really grateful for all my interactions and just deeply appreciate all of the wisdom and opportunities that have come my way through those organizations and those individual networks. And just so much gratitude for all of those that have helped to contribute to build our Fire Smart programming here in the city. So, yeah, I think the conference, as you mentioned, the Partners in Progress, it really is an instrumental thing that we need to focus on more on those partnerships to help continue growing the Fire Smart programming here in the province and helping to reduce our risk to wildfire.
Look up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. No, it's a homeowner scaling her ladder of truth to remove flammable debris lurking in her home's gutter. She's the Gutter Guardian.
Oh, I'm just cleaning leaves from the gutter to be more fire smart. No big deal.
And modest, too. Way to go, Gutter Guardian. Another everyday hero doing everyday chores to protect her home from wildfire. For more Fire Smart tasks that could save your home, visit firesmartbc.ca.
Looking at both of your careers and your relationships, there's probably a vast just range of partners, individuals, professionals across the whole wildfire industry, just between both of you. And I think that's a great reflection of the industry as a whole. It's pretty connected. And if you're passionate, you're going to run into similar people that are passionate and you're going to have the opportunity to grow and expand those relationships. Next question I think is super important and one I'd love to get your perspective on. Why should other women consider a career in this field of work? Oftentimes, as you look at this industry, it can be intimidating no matter who you are. And it's hard work. I think there's seasons and there's times where there's no way to put it. You're working hard and it's tense. But what would be your recommendations? What would be your advice? And this is your opportunity to be persuasive and to recruit as well. Because I think hopefully for both of you, you've had amazing careers and so much success. So what would you say to other women considering a career?
I think I'd just say, well, why not? is that more where I'd go with that. But yeah, you know, it's an amazing career. There's so many different opportunities. I think you kind of mentioned it before that everyone kind of focuses on wildfire and thinks it's just this one single point of action and way that you can be involved. But there are so many career paths that you can go down, whether you want to get into education, if you want to get into fuel mitigation, if you want to get to response, policy making. Like, there's so much work to be done here that there's no shortage of need for people. And integrating women in that we need women in all those sections. And, you know, I definitely will promote getting women boots on the ground. I know when I, you know, right around the time when I first got on with BC Wildfire,
it was back in 2008, there was still a little bit of that generational kind of perception that women still were geared towards certain types of careers. And it was never really something that was impressed upon me that firefighting would ever be a female career. And I am so glad for the people that were in my life at the time that, you know, were kind of like, Why couldn't you? Why don't you? Like, if you want to do it, just do it. So I really hope that has shifted. I feel like it has, but I would love to see more young women coming out of high school, applying for these types of jobs, you know, seeing more crew leaders, seeing more ICs out on the fire. I was really stoked to see, you know, Jane Park down in a keep with her IMT there a couple of years back. So yeah, I'd love to see more women in this field, in this industry. And I think we have certain attributes that work really well. And so, yeah, I just encourage all girls and women, if they want to be involved, don't shy away from it. Just go for it.
Amazing. Yeah, and help yourself.
I would just echo a lot of what Brittany has already said. I know that when you think about a role in fire, you think about a firefighter standing out in the forest trying to put out a fire or putting out a structural fire, but there are so many roles involved in bringing programs together. There's administration, there's program management, there's so much that comes together to create these programs and to implement the programs. All of it contributes to wildfire resiliency, and they're all important.
Amazing. Yeah, it's pretty, going back to the conference, for all of us that were there, You walk into that room and you kind of see who's in that room. And I think for me, that was really encouraging to see diversity, to see people from all over the province, people from all different roles, structural, wildfire. It's really cool to see that group. I think it's a great representation of, and still a long way to go, but a great representation of how we as a province and professionals are starting to respond to wildfire. And I think both your answers were phenomenal. And I think it just shows, to Brittany's comments, like, it's the programs and how we work to become a more resilient province. There's so many ways to do that. Your career is a good example of that. And Deanne, yours as well. It's your feedback on there's program levels, there's planning. You know, it is a 12-month activity. It's not just a summer activity. I think we learned that from the conference as well. Probably an easy question for both of you to answer because you're passionate about this, but I'll ask it because I think hopefully we'll get some good perspectives from both of you. But why do you feel FireSmart is so important to our province? I think we're in a time, we're recording this, it's May, we're obviously in season, or starting to be, but why do you both feel FireSmart is important to our province? So I know you're both passionate, so there should be many, many things, but what kind of jumps out at you, and why do you feel it's so important to the work that we do in protecting our province?
I just think it's really important that people realize they can have a big impact. Doing little things around your home can have a huge impact. And the more people that get on board and do these little things, the more resilient the entire province can be. There's always going to be wildfire. We can't eliminate it, but we can learn how to mitigate our risk and do the things that are going to make a difference in the whole big picture.
Yeah, very similar to Deanne. It's just the recognition that fire needs to be on the landscape. We know it's a natural part of our ecosystems, and it's an integral part to the health of our ecosystem. And so we aren't able to actually eliminate fire, nor should we. And so it becomes this question of, well, how do we mitigate against disaster, essentially? And when you break down what is disaster, a lot of people go utilize the words natural disaster. Well, there's no such thing as a natural disaster. There's natural hazard. And because we aren't wanting to remove fire from the equation, the next thing we need to look at is our vulnerability. And how we look at vulnerability is, what is our susceptibility and what is our resiliency? And so by incorporating FireSmart into your daily practices, you are increasing your resiliency, which is reducing your vulnerability. And when you remove and reduce that vulnerability, you reduce that chance of disaster. I feel like it's a message we've been preaching for, you know, quite a few years now, but it's unfortunately just a fact of life that if we do not change the way that we are protecting our homes, the way we're landscaping around our homes, the way we're building our communities, we're going to see more disasters like the Lytton Fire, like the Paradise Fire down the States, like the Black Saturday fires in Australia. It's going to become more frequent. We've been very lucky, I think, in Canada for the frequency of those disasters that we've seen. But I, you know, sadly, I think those are going to increase. And so the time is now to take steps so that when we kind of hit that precipice, we've taken the measures in place so that we can be effective in mitigating and increasing our resiliency to wildfire.
Phenomenal answer. I think there's urgency in your message and there's a reality of what we're facing, and we kind of have to really invest the time, the process. And I think you mentioned a really good point is we still have to get that message out there. You know, there's, it's easy for us to assume it's been shared, but there's still a long ways to go. As we started to close out, I'd love to, you know, end on a highlight and on a high note for both of you. I guess this question is, can be straightforward, but I'd love to hear your perspective as well. Is what are you both excited and encouraged for in the future of wildfire resiliency and FireSmart and everything that the Lynn Orsted Award kind of is built around? So the question really is, what are either of you really excited about? What are you encouraged about? Could be programs, could be initiatives, could be people, could be a variety of things, but love just to hear your perspective. And we'll start with Deanne as well. What gets you excited? What's getting you encouraged?
Seeing how the FireSmart programs are developing is really exciting for me, as we're involving multiple provinces and territories across Canada. Everybody has a seat at the table now and can influence how the programs are being developed. FireSmart Canada is listening to the input from everybody and seeing with the funding growing for wildfire resiliency, seeing the improvements for the programs that make it easier for people to get involved, make it easier for people to understand the programs and understand how they can make a difference.
Rudy, how about yourself? What encourages you and what excites you?
Oh, man. I feel like the more I study and understand what disaster is, what risk is, you know, what is vulnerability, I get really excited by the potentials that we have to make our communities resilient. And I think what's really incorporated in there is that relationship building. And so seeing who's all coming to the table, who's actually being invited to those tables, I think is a huge thing too. Is I hope we're moving towards a place where we have more inclusion, we have more voices at the table, and we're looking at this from a holistic and proactive stance. And I think that's probably, yeah, actually the most thing that I'm excited for is that it's a slow shift, but it's happening, that we're going from reactive to proactive, and I hope we can continue down that path. So that's, I think, what I'm most excited about is just getting people on board early and having those discussions now and making those changes.
Amazing. Last kind of comment and question, I guess, for either of you is, people are listening. Our hope is that they're passionate about FireSmart and that they're encouraged to do more. What are the resources, if you have family or friends that ask either you, so what do you do again? And what are you passionate about? And how do I get started in this FireSmart journey? What's the go-to resource that you generally push people to when they ask about what you do or how to prepare their homes and communities for wildfire? So quick tip, quick insight, where do you push people to?
I mean, besides this podcast, obviously, the FireSmart BBC website is—it's a wealth of knowledge there, and even the FireSmart Canada site is well done as well. So, checking both of those out are huge. But for locally, definitely letting people know about our own website and our own FireSmart tabs, so that people can sign up for home assessments, see what programs we have available, some of the events we have going on in town. But yeah, there's unlimited the amount of resources that are out there. Site partners, you guys have been doing such an amazing job on the videos. I think that's one of the coolest things that I've been loving to share with everybody is, you know, they get a question about, well, what building materials or how should I fire smart around my home or what's the home partners program? It's like, oh, perfect. Here's a video for you. So that's been really great. So yeah, FireSmart BC, site partner videos, and obviously this podcast would be my go-tos.
Awesome. Lots of resources. That's great. Deanne, how about yourself?
I would say exactly the same thing Brittany said. The FireSmart BC website definitely has everything you need to learn about FireSmart and what you can do to become involved. Like, I agree with the site partners' videos. They are amazing. You've done such a good job on those videos. And FireSmart Canada is working on their website and updating it as well. So the three resources I think are have everything everybody needs in order to start learning.
Amazing. Yeah, I think when you look at video, when you look at creative storytelling, it goes back to, I can't remember if Brittany, you said, or Deanne, you said it, it's people are often, for good reason, they're intimidated by fire. They see the stories, they see the headlines, and there's no avoiding the fact that it's a, to your point, Brittany, it's a growing concern. And it's overwhelming to say, where do I start? What do I do? And when you see these videos or different creative tools to showcase, hey, here's what I can do today, and actually science-based approach to wildfire resiliency, it's so encouraging. So to echo both your comments, is getting those resources out to people to say, hey, there is something you can do. Small steps makes a difference. And, you know, it's on that journey of becoming a more resilient province and a more resilient nation. So once again, I want to say congratulations to you both. Well-deserved, well-earned. And thank you for all the work that you both have done and continue to do for our province, for your communities, and for wildfire resiliency. So congratulations again. Thank you for everything you're doing, and thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thanks so much for having us. Such an honor to be nominated and receive this award.
Awesome. Well, we'll have you both on again soon and get a full detailed briefing on your continued Fire Smart journey in the months and years ahead.
Sounds great. Thank you so much.